Assalamu alaikum. May peace be upon you all. Welcome to our new podcast named Maaz Mecher. Here we'll be talking about life by deconstructing ideas which interest, bother, or intrigue us. Along with my respected dad, Dr. Altaf Hussain, and myself, Sulaiman Husseini, we have an intergenerational experience of more than a century on planet Earth. So hopefully we can contribute something meaningful. You're welcome to join us and come along on this journey. And today we're going to tackle an issue which is very important. And we're going to go through an essay which has been published in Renovatio, which is the journal of Zaytuna College here in Berkeley. And the essay which we have selected is titled Suffering as Surrender. This essay is by Sheikh Hamza Yusuf, and we're going to dissect it, try to look at it from different angles, try to digest it, and bring it in a format which is accessible, fun, and an easy way to grasp this profound idea of suffering. Just to give you an overview, extremely well-written essay, and it starts from the Quranic revelation and goes through the prophetic traditions, goes through different perspective of various Islamic scholars in our history, brings in the Western perspectives of Soren Kierkegaard, Melville, Shakespeare. And the fascinating thing is that all these things are weaved in such a way that they really make the narrative very rich and really brings a lot of depth to the discussion, and it's very, very interesting. So let's just get right into it. And as I mentioned, the essay starts with the Quranic revelations from Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 155, which can be translated as, "And we have indeed, and we will indeed test you with something of fear and hunger, and loss of wealth, souls, and fruits, and give glad tidings to the patient, those who, when affliction befalls them, say, truly we are God's, and unto him we return. They are those upon whom come the blessings from their Lord and compassion, and they are those who are rightly guided." So there's a lot to unpack there, and let's start there. So you have read the essay. Why don't you get us started?
Thank you. It's a wonderful beginning to this series of podcasts designated as Maaz Mecher. It's a wonderful Chilakalan day and discuss a topic which is very profound in its depth, and over a cup of noon chai and soot, it's the right time, right atmosphere to talk about this article written by a very eminent Islamic scholar, Professor Hamza Yusuf. Suffering and tribulation can be multidimensional. You can have physical suffering like fear or hunger or deprivation. You may be roofless, you may not have adequate clothing in Chilakalan, or you may lose a limb, you may lose a dear one, you may lose your business, you may lose your job. Particularly in the present context of COVID, we are in a very difficult situation globally, not only individually, but globally as individuals, as families, as communities. We have problems. So we have lost so many of our dear friends, kin, neighbors, and everybody is in a desperate situation, wherever. Similarly, you can have affliction from other points of view also. You may suffer mental illnesses. And there are lots of reasons why you suffer mental illnesses. But they do cause a lot of tribulation and affliction amongst us. Then there is a higher pedestal which the author takes us, which I think is at the spiritual plane. He talks about affliction. You know, historically, number of messengers of Allah were subjected to lots of tribulations. And the difference between the messengers and the ordinary folk, the laity, common people, is that they were totally resigned. They submitted to will of Allah. They surrendered to will of Allah. Because as you initially quoting Surah Baqarah said, that the affliction, the tribulation, they also bring glad tidings from Allah. And these messengers of Allah were absolutely certain that tribulations and affliction was temporary and was dictated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah himself would rectify it and bring glad tidings to them. It's a wonderful article, and as you have really said in your introduction, the author has not only brought the Islamic perspective, he has also brought the Western perspective in it. I am reminded of one quotation, "Sweet are the uses of adversity." You know, this might sound very contradictory. How can adversity be sweetness to your life? Because at the end of the day, we as human beings are put to various tests, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see how we react to those tests. Do we accept them as dictated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or do we get despondent? Do we lose hope? What is important in this scheme devised by Allah is that you should never give in to hopelessness, no matter what. That is an important lesson which I have derived from this article.
Yeah, it reminds me of the famous prophetic tradition which is mentioned in Sahih Muslim, which states that in which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam states, "How wondrous is the affair of the believer! Verily, all of their affair is good, and that is for no one except for the believers. When they are given a blessing, they are grateful. And it, the blessing was good for them. And if they are afflicted with anything harmful, like calamities, disease, loss of wealth, they show patience. And therefore, it was better for them." So how beautifully that really puts things in perspective. So no matter what comes your way, it's all good. Right? And
I'm glad you brought up this point. At this juncture, I am reminded of the supreme sacrifice offered by Hazrat Imam Hussain at Karbala. Perhaps he knew the likely outcome, but in deference to will of Allah and to uphold truth and to uphold principles, to uphold principles of justice and to oppose evil, he did not mind sacrificing his life, and not only his own life but life of 72 other companions also, most of whom were his family members. This is the supreme quintessence. This is the essence, kernel of this article, that you sacrifice everything. You are subjected to trials, tribulations. You sacrifice your life, sacrifice your family's life to uphold a principle in the right belief, in the correct belief that he would be rewarded in the afterlife. Because, you know, whenever we talk about these philosophical subjects, particularly affliction and tribulation and suffering and patience, we should not forget that this dunya is not the end. There is an afterlife also. So everything is not settled here and now. There is a lot to be settled in the afterlife also.
Absolutely. And, you know, talking about the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, there is a very interesting detail in that when this whole thing was happening, he, even in that very difficult time and moment, he did not give up on the prayer. So when the time of prayer came, he got up and prayed. In spite of everything what was going around, in spite of all the tribulation, the tragedy was happening, he was in complete submission, bearing everything with patience and facing it with his head holding up.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is the great manifestation. This is the real moral of the story of trials, tribulation on one hand, and submission to will of Allah and surrender to will of Allah at the other hand, with your head right up and knowing that you are defending truth, you are defending a mission, you are defending something which is right.
Yes. So switching gears here a little bit, it's hard to follow after the incident of Karbala, but let's get into the other aspects of this essay. An interesting point is mentioned here that which the author quotes or references. He says that in the Islamic tradition, tribulation or ibtila in Arabic is the guardian angel that keeps us from slipping into heedlessness and fragmentariness of the world, which can rip apart our souls. Very beautiful, but let's tease that out a little bit, right? So it says it's like a guardian angel that keeps us from slipping into heedlessness. What does that really mean?
To my mind, it means that if you don't have faith in the Almighty, if you don't have faith in afterlife, if you don't have faith in the overall wisdom with which this affair is being controlled by Almighty, you will think that affliction's response should be despondency, should be hopelessness, you wouldn't care less what's happening. But this quotation means that you have to retain hope in the ultimate justice, in the ultimate goodness that may come out of temporary tribulation or affliction. That's important, that you will get glad tidings sooner or later, no matter what the affliction may be.
Yes. And the other angle from this could be that you can be heedless in a sense that you feel that you are in total, absolute control. Because when tribulation happens, it can come from any angle, any side, and it's an uncontrollable factor in your life, which, if taken in the right context, will lead to humility, kind of a sense of that you are in a cosmos where you are not the ultimate power, but you are somebody who is, in a position of submission, and makes you humble and not heedless. You cannot fully control your life. There is COVID, right? And it is going to take some of us, unfortunately, while the rest of us have to take obviously the precautions, but have the ultimate faith in the divine, and know that He is ultimately in control. Like in Surah Al-Mulk, the first verse, right? تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير, means glory be to Him in whose hand is control or sovereignty of every single thing. So if one grasps that, you really feel and know your place in the cosmos. There is a higher being who's in control. Biyadhi is kind of, it's a metaphorical, it's not a literal hand, but it's just showing that the sovereignty belongs to Allah.
I'm glad you brought the issue of COVID. COVID has very brilliantly demonstrated this whole concept of affliction, suffering on one hand, and surrender on the other hand. Now, you have all the world's brilliant minds, yet human, trying to struggle, trying to find a cure, trying to find a prevention against COVID. Yet we all know how many millions it has already taken away from us, and how many are suffering from morbidity, and the damage it has caused to jobs, the damage it has caused to national economies, the damage it has caused to human relations, the damage it has imprisoned all of us, in spite of the fact that all the bright minds are involved in finding a vaccine and finding a treatment and treating us in hospitals. This brilliantly shows that we are being controlled. Our tribulation, affliction is also controlled, and so is our good recovery from this, redemption from this. That's also controlled by Almighty. And what we are left with, this is where this essay comes in, where we are left with is you have to submit and surrender to will of Almighty, who will bring glad tidings to us against this particular pandemic this time. That's important. We should not lose hope. Hopelessness is not an option.
Yes. So let's bring Kierkegaard into the discussion. He has a very interesting essay in the same journal, but the author in this particular essay quotes him and says, according to Kierkegaard, learning obedience from suffering does not come easily. But if a man fails to learn obedience, then he may learn what is the most corrupting, to learn craven despondency, learn to quench the spirit, learn to deaden any noble fervor in it, learn defiance and despair.
This is, yes, he has put it in his own scholarly way, but if I had to just paraphrase it in simple language, what he says is that we should not give way to despair, we should not give way to hopelessness. If we do so, we'll be guilty of doing things which are unbecoming for humanity.
Yes. And unfortunately, in the modern world, there is this culture of complaining and this idea of why is this happening to me, which was kind of unknown in the pre-modern world. And people have become really, even the smallest things really gets people upset. Let's say you are at a traffic light and you don't move in the few seconds and people start honking at the back of you, right? So it's like the patience is a very rare thing these days. And it's good to look at tradition, which really gives us these different examples and different ways of how this could be understood.
This is true. This is a byproduct of materialism. And people have become materialistic, and that's why they start complaining at the drop of a hat. And unfortunately, this is a recent phenomenon. As he rightly says, this wasn't true about pre-modern days. And we have to eschew this and learn to display patience and surrender in situations which are beyond our control. And as we said in the introduction, that lots of afflictions can be easily remedied at the individual level, at the community level, at the family level, and at the international level. Like if you have hunger may be because of drought, that may be because of climate change, and this has got to be addressed. Of course, subject to overall control of Almighty, but humans have to make an effort. You have to make an effort. After all, Almighty has given us the intellect. He has put us as vicegerents on this planet. And He has asked us to exert. He has asked us to use our minds, our brains. So you can take care of hunger. You can take care of diseases which are easily remediable. And you can have vaccines which can prevent lots of diseases. And lots of diseases have been eradicated from this planet. So some of the afflictions are remediable, some of the afflictions are preventable, like things like accidents and other things. But then I do understand there is a chunk left where, in spite of all your efforts, people may be left with affliction. And it is in that situation where you have to submit, where you have to surrender, where you have to learn obedience to will of Almighty.
Yes, many of the ills and sufferings are a direct result of our poor stewardship. In other words, the idea of vicegerency or the khalifa. In the Islamic worldview, there's an idea of khalifa. You are a khalifa of God on planet Earth. And your job is to basically take care of resources, your fellow human beings, and animals, the environment, and everything which goes with it. And many of the things happening around the world is our own doing, because of greed, because of corruption, because of all the negative things which come with being part of human. But as you rightly said, there is a pocket which might not be directly related to what we have done or somebody else has done, but can be pure tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we have to take and bear with patience.
True.
So the other aspect which this essay discusses is the mystery of inequity, and which is seen as a tribulation and a source of suffering by many. And inequities can be in different shapes and formats. And one of the paragraphs which caught my attention was inequities in terms of you can be a tribulation for yourself, or people can be tribulation for one another. And in one of the paragraphs, one of the Quranic verses is quoted, which goes like this: "We have made some of you a tribulation for others. Will you show patience? And your Lord sees everything." Surah 25, verse 20. And about this verse, the 14th century theologian Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi said that the God has made poor people a tribulation for the rich, and the rich people a tribulation for the poor. He has made the ignorant a tribulation for the learned, and the learned a tribulation for the ignorant, and so on. This is the world that we are in. The ultimate question before us is whether we can accept and by acceptance submit to the reality of God, or whether we are going to remain ignorant, jahili.
Yes, this is a very profound statement. And what I personally feel that iniquity may arise from lots of things, but it should be human endeavor to minimize iniquity. After all, our great religion is based on social justice and equity. And we have to learn to share our resources. We have to learn to share our knowledge. He talks of rich and the poor. Rich may be tribulation for the poor. Poor may be tribulation for the rich. If they share each other's resources as dictated by the great religion of Islam, surely they can minimize each other's problems. Similarly, tribulation of the learned against the unlettered. If they share their knowledge, if the learned can impart some of their knowledge to the unlettered, some tribulation may be mitigated. But at the societal and at the international level, at the governmental level, it should be our endeavor to lessen, if not completely eradicate, inequity between individuals, between families, between regions, and between countries. Because to ensure stability at the community level, at the governmental level, at the national and international level, it is necessary to have some kind of equity.
Yes. So another idea which is put forth in this essay is the idea of dunya, right? Which is a place which we live, and the essay says the place we inhabit is called the dunya. It is the lowest place in the universe, a place where we leave behind our foulness by seeking the path of purification. It's all up from here. That's a very interesting paragraph. So that is also a context of our human condition, right? And the fact that we are in dunya, it is not the perfect place. As believers, we believe that and we know that to be true. The dunya is going to break your heart. And the problem is that when people have expectations which are not met by the realities of this world and its people, then suffering happens. But if we see this world as a place where it's a place of tribulation, a place of trials, of fear, hunger, loss, but if we are patient and grateful for all the bounties, we'll be much happier.
You know, this is the basis of our faith, that dunya is not the ultimate. Dunya is not the end. There's an afterlife. But I humbly submit that any affliction that is not remediable, that's in spite of your best efforts, it may not be remedied. Then you have to submit, then you have to surrender, then you have to be obedient. But my view, which I don't think contradicts any tenet of any religion, is that wherever suffering can be mitigated through your own efforts or community efforts, one should not hesitate from resorting to all measures which can mitigate suffering. Wherever it's not possible, submit, be obedient. Yes.
Yes, I think that framing is kind of, in this essay, that doesn't come as strongly as you would have liked to see. Am I hearing that properly? So the essay kind of comes from an angle that, hey, dunya, lower place, trials, tribulations, just submit and see it as redemptive, as virtuous, but the angle of saying that, hey, as a vice regent, do your best to alleviate suffering in whatever capacity, shape, form you can. And for those aspects which are beyond your control, see them as redemptive.
I entirely agree with you. The essay gives the impression, though I know it's been written by an eminent scholar, the essay gives an impression that you have to raise suffering and affliction to the status of a virtue. I do not consider affliction as a virtue. Wherever it's amenable to remedy, you should use your intellect granted to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to erase it. Where it is not possible for you to do it, then submit, accept, surrender unconditionally.
Towards the closing of the essay, the author gives the example of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says that he was always positive and was at peace with the abode. And in spite of all the trials and tribulations, he never gave up. It never affected his spirit. And he, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was always in the hub. And the author is here giving an example of the hurricane and the eye of the hurricane, and explaining that hurricane is always in that violent movement and motion, but it has an eye which is always very stable and very calm. And both are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hurricane and the eye. And it's a very, very beautiful visual of looking at creation, that both are the creation of Allah, the eye and the hurricane. So it is up to us if we can choose to see everything, the good and the evil, all coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and trying to be in the eye of the hurricane and not at the periphery.
There's no better way of concluding this first episode of our Mars Mature podcast than by emulating the great example of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We invite you to give your suggestions, your feedback, your critique, and we hope that you have enjoyed this maiden appearance of our Mars Mature podcast. Thank you.
Thank you.